And the 8th chapter. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. A bright sunny afternoon in Cambridge, England in 1666, and Isaac Newton decides to pull all of the shades in his house. The house is completely dark, and in one of the shades, Isaac Newton cuts a very small hole, and in that hole, he puts a prism. So as the bright light from outside shines through that prism, what he has inside is this whole spectrum of colors that is shining across the floor of his family room and his furniture. It was then that Newton decided to draw a conclusion from what he observed, that bright white light that he sees outside is not actually a color of itself, but is made up of every other color that exists, and they come together, it becomes white light. There's that example of Isaac Newton that two authors, Marcus Buckingham and Kurt Kaufman, used in their book, First Break All the Rules. And I have to confess that anytime I see a title that says Break All the Rules, I'm drawn to that book immediately because it's always fun to break the rules. It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission most of the time in life. And the authors use that example of Isaac Newton to talk about strong businesses, businesses that are flourishing and vital and alive. And what he does is he takes apart all of the pieces of those businesses to try to get a look at what makes them strong. I want to borrow the example of Isaac Newton, but instead of taking apart what makes businesses strong, I want to take a look at the different ways that we think about church as we answer the question, what is the church? Because we could have just as many answers as we have people gathered in this space. There will be some when asked what is the church, and they think about this congregation, Holy Trinity, will think about Trinity's history. Founded in 1730, the building you're in finished in 1766. To think about the fact that members of this congregation have voted in every presidential election in the history of our nation. The members of this congregation have lived through every war that our nation fought. That members of this congregation had to figure out what that Declaration of Independence meant for them here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and to be governed by doctrines on a piece of paper called a constitution and not by a monarch. What it meant for a country to be at war with itself, to gather here in this space and pass a resolution that was hand-delivered to Abraham Lincoln, a strong and fascinating history. And so when some of you think about Trinity, you think about the historical pieces of Trinity and the history behind the congregation. And so this is what I am proposing, that if that is what is important for you about the life of this congregation, this is how we would be better served. We would form a partnership with LancasterHistory.org, and we will turn leadership of the congregation over to them. because they have a lot more experience in that area than we do, and they'd be much more prudent with the resources to preserve the historical integrity of our congregation. Maybe it's the religious products that we offer as a congregation. You like to know that when you are admitted to the hospital, someone from the pastoral staff will come and visit you in the hospital. Now, what I have noticed is that on the occasion when I'm scheduled to visit people in the hospital, people immediately check themselves out. And there's never one in the hospital on the days when I'm on. You can picture people running down James Street with the back of their hospital gown flapping open, saying, "No, no, Pastor Menser's on the way." But when these fine folks are on call, the hospital is filled with Trinity members. I think they like you better than me. So, and that's reasonable for you to grasp that concept. Dispenser of religious services, visits in the hospital. Someone there to offer you counseling when you're in need. To be the one who does the baptizing, the one who does the confirmation and performs the wedding ceremonies and does the marriage counseling and performs the funerals and offers the grief counseling. A number of services that we dispense as a congregation. And should that be for you the definition of the church, this is what I propose. That we enter into a partnership with Luther Care. Because Luther Care has better resources to offer that kind of ministry to people. And they're much more prudent in the way that they can go about doing that for us. Maybe it's nostalgia that helps you define what Trinity is as a church. No one does Christmas Eve the way we do. People come from other churches to be here on Christmas Eve. There's actually people at my level sitting up here that I can see face to face, as opposed to the hinterland way back there in the back. We do Christmas Eve well with the beauty of our music, the beauty of the space, the beautiful art in the windows and the carving and in the music that we have, the recitals that we have, all those personal connections that you have. And if that is what for you defines Trinity as a church, then the partnership that makes most sense to me is for us to work with Lancaster Arts and turn the leadership of this congregation over to the arts community to preserve the art that we have here and the music that we offer. And they would be prudent with the resources. Maybe it's because we can provide services to those in need. Maybe that defines this church for you. That we feed close to 150 people every Sunday morning. That we offer help each and every day of the week and intercede with landlords who are way too quick to kick people out of their apartments when something goes wrong. The way we speak on behalf of issues of justice, perhaps that is what defines Trinity as a church for you. And if that is the case, I propose that our partnership be with the United Way, who can raise a lot more funds than we can to serve those who are in need. Maybe you want good moral teaching. I'm not sure I'm the person to offer you good moral teaching. I can offer you teaching about faith, but maybe you want good moral teaching to help you figure out what's going on in the world. A partnership that would make more sense is to work with the philosophy departments of Franklin and Marshall and also Millersville University. Turn our ministry over to them. Let this become a place for teaching so we can understand philosophy and all the different ways that people make moral and ethical decisions. Maybe it's more personal for you that this church has been the place that has let you shine in who you are as a person. You found that niche where you can do something and where you can do it well. You found the opportunity to declare yourself, appoint yourself a leader of the congregation, not elected as a leader of the congregation, but appointed as a leader of the congregation by yourself. And this church becomes a place that tolerates that and accepts you and listens to you. But then again, there are a lot of community service organizations that could provide that in a much better way and are in need of new members. Any one of those understandings of the church can be supported by an institution that is undergirded with a bureaucracy that makes it happen. But that, brothers and sisters, is not the definition of the church. The church is the moment when God's word is proclaimed and the sacraments are administered. And so the church is an event. The moment the word is proclaimed, the moment the bread is broken and the wine is poured, the moment when the water is poured for baptism, the church is an event that happens when God's word is proclaimed. What is this word that we proclaim as the people of God? Some talk about it as the steadfast word of God, which is that no matter where any of us may stray, that God will not leave your side. Some of us talk about it as the mercy of God, that no matter what we have done wrong, God does not give us what we deserve. Thanks be to God. We may talk about it in the terms of grace, that God gives us what we don't deserve. And it's captured in that Reformation concept of justification. Now, N.T. Wright, when he's talking about justification, says that what happens to Christians when they hear about justification is there's this great sigh of relief. Oh, you mean I don't have to do anything? Nothing to earn the love of God. Nothing. But Wright goes on to say that as soon as you make that statement, it should give birth to the next thought. And the next thought is this: so it's not about me after all. It's not about me after all. It's what God has done through Jesus Christ. If it is not about us, that means that we are called to give ourselves to God's purposes, to give ourselves to what God is accomplishing in this world, to be part of God's plan of saving and turning this world around, giving of ourselves to what God is doing. And we as a congregation have a very clear picture of what we believe God is calling us to be and to do in the Lancaster community. That first of all, God is calling us to be radical. We want to reclaim the word radical. It's not some off-the-cuff liberal expression, but radical in the true sense of the word, that we get at the roots of what is going on around us, to get at the roots of what is happening. And getting at the roots, it gives us the telos, the trajectory, the purpose, the end of what is going on, so we know what our purpose is. To take a radical approach that shuts down other ways that keep us divided. That we as a congregation would dare to bring opposites together. You see, this is the illusion under which we live. That there are at least two ways to approach everything we face. One of them is the right way, which is my way. One of them is the wrong way, which is your way, if you disagree with me. And that one of those ways is the enlightened way, my way, and one of them is the unenlightened way, which is your way, if you disagree with me. But consider this possibility that comes out of family systems theory, that the greater the level of anxiety among people, the more likely they are to live divided, to have divided approaches. That is not as much a mature approach as a less mature approach when we live in opposites. Bringing the opposites together, starting by finding common ground and issues of genuine concern so no one is overlooked, no one is ridiculed, no one is put down for who they are, and people have what they need to thrive in this world. This is about a ministry of interest. It's time for us to stop looking inside and at each other, and for us to start looking at the community around us, to become engaged and interested and involved in what's happening around us, to stop offering us and ourselves as a solution to everything that's out there, and find out what is happening and how we can be involved in what is happening in the world. It is the lifting up of the arts, which had the capacity to cast a vision for us of something we have yet to see, and opening our minds and our imaginations to something that we never thought was possible before. And it is casting a vision for how we as a faith community speak to the criminal justice system. We must understand that the criminal justice system in America started with Christians. The stockades, the cells in early America were imposed by the Christians in order to rein in someone's behavior for the purpose of reform. The structures have changed. We need to ask whether we still see reform as our purpose in the criminal justice system. And to do that, how do we help children whose parents are incarcerated? How do we challenge these ethically lazy, mandatory sentences that we vote to elect congressmen to pass? How do we welcome back into our communities those who have served their time and are yearning for the community to say, we forgive you, welcome back into who we are? We believe, as a congregation, that is what God is calling us to do. And in believing that, we are giving of ourselves to that purpose. Our commitment to giving for 2013 is one of the ways we commit ourselves to God's purpose for this congregation. to do it willingly and cheerfully because we believe it is not about us, but about giving ourselves to God's purposes. Amen. I want to invite the ushers at this point to bring forward and hand out your pledge cards. If you would please refrain from completing them until we are able to have a time of prayer as the congregation.